webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for July 3rd, 2014. Coming to you from the GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee, where with John Wayne we say, life is hard, but it's harder if you're stupid. And from Houston, Texas, here is the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. G'day, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Barris. I am really doing wonderful. Everything in Texas is gearing up for the 4th of July.
Independence Day.
Yes, for our great country. And and of course, I'll brag once again, one that my actually, I had several grandfathers and uncles that fought in the Revolutionary War.
Is this a little bit like reincarnation? You had no one bad in your family, right? There was only pharaohs and King Tuts and all that.
Well, no, here's the way it is. When you do genealogy, for every really wonderful thing that you find that is just really exciting, there's 10 that you hope nobody ever finds out. You just don't talk about them.
Tell us about a couple.
You ain't blowing my cover.
I wouldn't, but you would.
That's exactly right. With a little help from my friend. But it's here in Texas, boy, they use the fireworks, that's for sure. I kind of feel like my house is coming off the foundation on the 4th of July. And it lasts for a couple of days. Of course, here in Texas, they do not prevent you from firing or shooting anything.
Is there anything they prevent you from at all? That's like when you say, well, don't do anything I wouldn't do. And you say, well what wouldn't you do?
Oh, goodness.
Where'd you go this week?
I was in Marion, Illinois for two really wonderful occasions, actually. I got to see my family. And also the meetings there in Marion, we did some teaching that brought clarity to the difference between the teachings of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus.
Well, hang on. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever, it'd be the same, wouldn't it?
He is the same. The covenant changed. Turns out there's a great difference in the teaching Christ and the resurrected Christ.
Are you going to give us... Lead us up to the precipice and just leave us there. Come on, cough it up.
It seems everybody that starts wants to know about the teachings of Jesus. It says, you know, you'll go into eternal damnation and... you're going to be judged for every word that comes out of your mouth. And I say to you that it's not just if you commit adultery, it's if you even have a lustful thought. It's not that you kill somebody, it's even if you get angry. So these teachings of Jesus have to be put into their proper perspective. Number one, of course, the first covenant was still in effect. And the fact of it is that Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you. Now, the one place that I can give you proof positive that things changed after the resurrection is in that one point. Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you. All of the disciples denied Christ, and he rose from the dead. And he never even mentioned the fact that they denied him. I thought it was a big deal if you deny Christ. These dudes all did it, and Jesus didn't even bring it up. For some reason, it was no longer even a subject to even be discussed. So the difference between the teaching Christ and the resurrected Christ really is a very powerful one.
Well, I can see Peter denying him. I can see Judas betraying him. But all the disciples denied him? How do you figure that?
Well, of course, don't forget Thomas's story, who not only denied him, but refused to believe that it was him when he was standing there.
Well, hang on. We'll get to the denial of part of Thomas later. But if you ask me, he was the most honest one of any of the disciples, at least. I mean,
exactly.
He was the one when Jesus said, "See, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I'm going to go, and you're going to know the way." And Thomas says, "Hold it up, Jesus! What's this crap about? I'm going to know the way. I don't know any way. How about?" And he was the only one of all of them that didn't sort of kowtow and as a bunch of sycophants and say, "Oh, hallelujah, risen Jesus." He said, "No. If I don't stick my hand in his, I mean, this guy was a rational." I admire Thomas. I reckon Thomas should be made a saint before anyone else.
Well, yes, and I agree that we do need a few more thinkers. But, you know, when they came to arrest Jesus, they all denied him because they all what it says there is that they all turned and went their own way. So they all turned from Christ. They all abandoned him. And no one was stepping up to say, they knew everybody was running around trying to figure out who knew him and who didn't. Where are these 12 disciples? And they were looking for confessors. They were looking for believers. They were looking for disciples. And not one of them stepped up to say that they knew him. In fact, the ones that were confronted, especially Peter being confronted, denied it. Bears, when I did this, of course, the interesting thing was looking back and finding the fact that the subject of these teachings in Hebrews 6:1 is all couched in Paul's teaching about Jesus being the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That starts in Hebrews chapter 5. Goes all the way through chapter 6 and chapter 7. So when you take into consideration Jesus saying, "Leave these teachings of Christ behind," it is in light of the fact that Christ is now the great high priest. All right? So you can't look at it outside of that context. That is the broadest context without taking into consideration the entire book of Hebrews, and this really does take in the entire book of Hebrews, actually, as far as this issue about the priesthood, high priesthood of Jesus. So the thing that I realized as I was getting ready for the sessions is that why leave these teachings behind? Because Jesus was teaching the doctrines of and practices of a first covenant based on a imperfect sacrifice and an imperfect priesthood. So in the context, especially of him talking about the priesthood, doctrines of repentance, doctrines of having faith in God, doctrines of baptisms, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of dead and eternal judgment, these are all doctrines of an insufficient priesthood. Now, that's the only reason you could possibly be going on, especially in this context of chapter 5, 6, and 7, is that the reason you move on from these teachings is they're based on an insufficient priesthood.
Now, I'm remembering a verse a bit later in Hebrews. It says that this old covenant was imperfect because it did not have the capacity to make those who came to it or the comers thereunto perfect. So these doctrines you're talking about, is that tied up with the with what does not make us perfect?
Everything that the law requires doth not make you perfect. Whether it is a sacrifice, whether it is repentance, whether it is a demand for faith. Now, the powerful thing, you know, if we zero just in on one of these, where he says, you know, one of the doctrines you're to leave behind, shockingly, is faith toward God. Why in the world would you leave behind the foundation of Christianity, of having faith toward or faith in God. And at Hebrews chapter 11, he tells us the conclusions as to why we need to leave behind all of these teaching about trying to have faith in God.
Gospel Revolution.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11. We'll start in verse 10. And thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens and the works of thy hands. Now, really what he's saying here is that in the beginning you created the highest place and the lowest place. In the context of this, it's really great reading it, and you'd get a lot out of it reading it in Francois' translation also. They shall perish. All right, so he's saying that this highest place of heaven and this lowest place of earth was going to perish. All of the church community, all. And I don't always use all unless all is applicable, but all put this in a future tense. They shall perish, but thou remainest. So there's something about this heaven, the highest place, and earth, the lowest place, that is going to perish. But God himself, he says, you're going to remain. They shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. Now, it's very interesting that that term is, and Paul's teaching here, the term changed is there, because he uses it several times in his teachings about being changed. Being changed in the twinkling of an eye. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's this change that's taken place. And each place where Paul uses those terms, he is speaking of what happened at the cross. But thou art the same, and thy years fail not. Then he goes on to say, but to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So he's making this statement that there is some, the way that the first creation was put together. The first creation was put together with an establishment of a distant heaven and a separated earth. And Paul is making the statement in Hebrews chapter 1 that this established heaven and this lower place called earth was going to be destroyed, that it absolutely was coming to an end. Well, lo and behold, you get into chapter 2 very quickly then, and he is talking about this distance and all of these teachings that really between the first covenant and those things that were required. You see, these teachings that Paul says that we have to leave behind, they were teachings that were implemented because there was a heaven and a separated earth. God in his heaven and human beings on their earth. So all of these doctrines were put together, these sacrifices, ceremonies, all of this, was because these two existed on two different planes. Then you get into Hebrews chapter 2, as we said, and he's questioning why in the world that man, why would you visit man at all? Why would you possibly do that? And in verse 6, let me just start right there. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Now, we've got to remember, we're still talking about mankind. Where did God place man? God made man a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Well, that's in perfect alignment with the book of Genesis and what was said about the original creation of man. And he set man over the works of his hands on the earth. And then he says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, speaking of the original creation. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. So here again is a doctrine that Christianity, all Christianity teaches, that we see not yet all things put under him. But in Paul's chronological storytelling is where this we see not yet all things put under him. After God created heaven and earth, placed man on earth, and then set him over all the works of his hands, we saw man in authority or in a position where that everything was subject to him and under his feet. But at that point of creation, we did not see yet all things put under him. Then verse 9, but we see Jesus. Wow. Now, what do we not see at the end of the first creation of heaven and earth? We do not see all things under man's feet. But what do we see? Now we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, Jesus coming into this earth, this is so fascinating. I will never forget teaching on this the first time. I was so excited to see this new creation. And now today, after Marion, Illinois, I see it even clearer, Barris. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, wait a minute. That's exactly where he placed man. He placed man a little lower than the angels. So we have God in his heaven, the angelic realm, and then man. Jesus being God, now come to earth, came to this earth in the form of a man. And we see him in that position for one reason in particular, a major reason, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. So it was necessary. This death was necessary. Now, remember why the high priest was ineffective? Remember, Paul teaches us in this very book, the reason they were ineffective is they died. Their priesthood ended. I mean, that was the big problem. The dudes died. And now, but Jesus came here in the form of a man for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. When you look at this and you see the original heaven and the original earth, the original heaven and the original earth, God in his heaven, man on his earth, there was then the middle part of creation, if you will, and that was the angelic realm. Man was created after the angels. The problem is that the angelic realm, a third of the angelic realm, rebelled. So we've got Lucifer and his angels now. I don't know how many angels there are, but a third of them, in accurate count, became not such good things for mankind.
Hey, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought that Satan can't create, can he?
No, I think that's a correct statement.
But God can create, can't he?
Yes.
We don't know how many angels there are because God could have kept on creating them.
Yeah, exactly. At the time, we know a third of them.
Yeah, let's get this right now.
Let's get it exactly right. So this is very powerful, and especially you read Ephesians, how that that when Christ died on the cross, he took all of humanity into him. And then when he raised from the dead and went back into the heavenlies, and then we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you see this disappearance of any distance or difference between God and man. They now have become one. Now, the interesting thing about it, people are all the time talking about the devil. I talked about him for a decade, and I talked to him more than I did God or Jesus or the Holy Ghost or people, constantly resisting and rebuking and defying and get out and come out and, oh, goodness. And so here we see that Jesus came from that realm. And in doing so, this is what he did. This is what was accomplished when Jesus came and took humanity into him and rose from the dead by reason of death and became our great high priest. Now, this is what was done away. I'm going to back up to Hebrews chapter 1. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish. We just read in chapter 2 where they did. And they shall wax old as doth a garment. We just read in chapter 2 where they did. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. We just read in chapter 2 where they did. But thou art the same, and thy years shall never fail. Now, see, the interesting thing about this is that this whole transition takes place, but God hasn't changed. It is his dwelling place that has changed. Do you realize how many people in the Christian world take these verses out of context? You created the heavens and the earth, and they are the works of your hands, and they shall perish. They're going to wax old as doth a garment. They're going to be like an old vesture, and they're going to fold them up and put them away, and they're going to be changed. That is a future event. Now, the future event is explained in chapter 2, which is a past event.
My name is Bond, Mike Bond. I would love to roll the clock back 37 years and know this gospel like I know it now. Man, it would be life-changing because I would be into freedom.
Hebrews, Paul is addressing the whole issue of Judaism and all of the practices of the Old Covenant and why we should not go back to them. In fact, we should leave them behind. And the number one reason that we should leave them behind is we no longer have a failed priesthood. We have a perfect priesthood that has entered in and now seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are in him in the very same place. It is powerful. Now, what this does, Barris, is destroys, now listen very carefully, this destroys every element of Christianity that exists. Every element.
Like what?
Confession of sin. Faith toward God, baptisms, dealing with the devil, to resist, rebuke this conflict that is with the devil. The issue of trying to get rid of sin again. You don't have to get rid of sin again. Jesus got rid of it 2,000 years ago. The issues of righteousness, trying to be righteous and acceptable to God by your performance. That is Christianity. And its doctrines, it is time that they be put away. Because God himself folded those doctrines up like a vesture, like an old rag, and put them away. Now, what has happened is Christianity got these old clothes back out and is trying to put these rags and these garments, which really do leave you naked.
They went to the secondhand shop. They went goodwilling.
They went goodwilling, absolutely. Trying to find grace, they went goodwilling, trying to find the goodwill of God. And what they found was their own righteousness, and it is as filthy rags. I think it's interesting that the prophet Isaiah spoke of these this righteousness being as filthy rags. And here we are, we're finding out about those filthy rags, and that they've been put away. They're done away with. Why are these filthy rags? The filthy rags are not your life of sex, drugs, rock and roll. The filthy rags are the attempts of man to be united with God, to be in favor with God, and to be in God's good favor, and to avoid the punishment of God, and to try to stay out of the devil's way. That is what has been folded up and put away. So just to recap the teaching that took place in Marion, Illinois, is this, we drew a line and we juxtaposed the teaching Christ with the resurrected Christ. We have taken all of this teaching out of the book of Hebrews, and we've shown where Paul taught, where these doctrines were established, why these doctrines were established, even the fact that Christ told them, taught them, and why, even though Christ taught them, why do we put them away? Why are they no longer a part of anything that should be practiced, taught, or believed by anyone on planet Earth? These are not things anyone on planet Earth should believe. No one on Earth should believe they've got to have faith toward God. No one on Earth should believe there is an eternal judgment yet to come. No one on Earth should believe these things. And the book of Hebrews explains in detail why. Those are the doctrines of an imperfect priesthood, an imperfect sacrifice. But we now have had a perfect sacrifice, and we do have a perfect high priest who has passed through death for us all and now is the mediator of this new covenant. And that can't change because the great high priest can't die.
Well, now, I thought we were going to be giving away this series as a come-on for the pledge drive, you know, along with the holy water and the prayer cloths. And now there's no reason for people to give us anything. You've spilt all of the beans, haven't you?
We always give away the milk first and then try to sell the cow.
Yeah, okay.
That's just kind of the way we do things here.
You know, it's not the people who agree with us, it's the people who question us that help us make progress. That's how we've done it since day one. What are your thoughts on what we've just been talking about? Why don't you call me on area code 234-564-0971 and let us know what you think about that. Else you can just email us at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. That was freedom@gospelrevolution.com. What do you think about that?
So, Mike, here is an email we got this week from, do I say who?
I don't know, why not? We can take it out if Jeff says so.
Yeah. So, Mike, here is an email we got this week from Bernie Nicolai. He might be the founder of the Nicolaitans. Anyway, don't worry, shop joke. He says, resend the gospel around the world. That I think this is in response to the newsletter we just sent out. He said, Joseph Prince has paid off 90% plus of his roughly $400 million new facility in Singapore. He only started television in 2007. He says that if you preach the gospel, people will beat down the doors to get to you. Works for him. I'd say the difference is Prince is very much Jesus is directly involved in your life, even in the little things. What I get from Mike Williams is more along the lines of you are saved by grace, but God isn't involved in the little things in your life. People want a father who is interested in the tiniest details of their life, a father who passionately loves them and is involved very, very directly in our lives, especially when we ask. Preach this and you won't have any money problems. Bernie. Hey, Bernie, if you send us some money, we mightn't have any money problems either, buddy. What do you reckon about that, Mike?
Well, I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth.
Oh, this is a family show. Please.
You know, based on that logic, goodness gracious, we should preach Catholic doctrine because the Catholics took in multiple millions more than Joseph Prince did since 2007.
Well, I mean, and it's so easy for them. At one time,
At one time,
they were the biggest manufacturer of munitions in the world. They were also the largest contraceptive manufacturer in the world. I mean, they didn't do it themselves, of course, but they were heavily invested.
So yes. Well, it's, number one, goodness gracious, the thought that the only difference between what I teach and Joseph Prince teaches is, you know, God being involved in daily life. There's so many levels of this that I'd love to address. Number one, show me any adult, male or female, who wants their father involved in every detail of their life.
We used to have a joke back home about you don't buy your bed from this company because they stand behind the products they sell.
Exactly. The whole marriage thing even defies that, that when a man and a woman marries, that they shall depart from their mother and their father. They are to leave, in fact, in this new marriage. If you compare any of this to the comparisons of Christ and the church as Paul taught. But see, here's this thing, is that Joseph Prince is teaching people as though they are infants who have not been perfected in Christ. That's the father that you want involved in your every daily decision, is those who have no freedom. If you folks think about this, that sounds sweet. I want my father involved in all of my every little tiniest details. Play that out in your head, please. Play that out in your adult brain. Tell that to one of your children. And say, I love you so much. Let me show you how much I love you. Even though you are a matured human being, which that's what we are in Christ. We've come into perfection. Even though you are in full maturity, I love you so much, sweetheart. I know you're 30 years old. But now to show you that I love you, you cannot make a single decision without you and I talking about it, unless I approve of it, unless you know that I'm there behind the scenes working it out. When you go and apply for college, I'm going to go talk to the dean, make sure you get in. I'm going to pick the person that you're going to room with. I am your father, so I am going to be involved in the intimate details of your life. Because I love you. And even though you're 30, you're a bit on the challenge side and can't think for yourself. So therefore, I have to come in and do all this. You see, it sounds, you know, when Bernie wrote this in the letter, didn't it sound nice?
It sounded sweet and fluffy and warm and fuzzy.
It made me just want to run home and jump, you know, in daddy's arms.
I just wanted to pick up a cuddly toy. Hey, but listen, Bernie, here is another thing, sir. And we love everyone who listens to this show, gets our newsletter, any way involved with us. We love you to bits. and we are not going to try and tell you how to think or what to
exactly.
think. But let me make this very, very, very plain. You and God are one.
Yes.
Joseph Prince teaches that you and God are two. Huge difference. Big difference. Huge difference. You, how could he possibly be any more involved in your life, Bernie, than being one
exactly.
with you? See, honoring God wanted
your decisions.
Sorry?
And him honoring your decisions and your choices, not controlling your life.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not your daughter, Bernie. But hey, listen, why don't you send us a few bucks? And that way we might catch up to Joseph, who is really only preaching what he heard from Michael in 1997. And he's only, and as far as that's concerned, he's preaching half a gospel. So I guess half is better than none, Michael, isn't it?
It's not even half a gospel, Paris. I don't even think it's half. Unless it includes everyone, it is no gospel at all.
Now, here's the other thing that I get from Bernie's letter. Money is the measure of success.
Evidently. And, man, I'm telling you, then Al-Qaeda's got it going on. look at all of the things. And my goodness, I just watched a video where this new ISIS was showing all of the American vehicles that have, by God's grace and by God's hands, have now fallen into their hands. That it was made and manufactured in America, the Humvees, the big Ford trucks and everything. And they're standing there showing them off, showing how that this now has come into their hands. So evidently what they do, also measuring by things you didn't deserve coming to you, we have to accept that their doctrine is correct. We've got to grow up, folks. We've got to grow up in our thinking. We are already fully matured in Christ. And to think that the only change that we need in teaching or preaching is to emphasize the involvement of God in people's daily lives. So let's say that that's what he does. You're going to have to explain to me cancer, disease, car wrecks. If God is intimately involved in everything in your life, if he is there, you are going to have to explain to me why your connection on the internet failed. You're going to have to explain to me God's involvement in why you haven't seen your kids in a year. You're going to have to explain to me why your child died. But see, you can't explain it to me unless you tell me exactly how God was involved in all of it.
Well, he was involved like Facebook. You know, in Facebook, people say, oh, let's see how many likes we can get on this post. And they put a fluffy toy out there, the sort of thing I just wanted to hug. Or maybe a little girl sucking an ice cream with a little dirt in her hair and these gorgeous blue eyes. Let's see how many likes we can get. Or here's a little girl dying of cancer, and let's see how many likes we can get. And it's like God saying, oh, I didn't get enough likes. I'll have to kill that kid with cancer.
Exactly. You know, the sound of this, the syrupy, sickening, yeah, I did throw up my mouth just a little bit, you know. This is sickening to me. I'm sorry, it's sickening to me that we cannot think our way past an infantile definition of relationship with God on this side of the cross. Why? Let me tell you, if Joseph Prince Ministries has convinced you that you have to have God there deciding every little intimate thing about your life, you have been sold on an insufficient priesthood. You have been sold on a sacrifice that wasn't good enough. You've been sold on a priesthood that is completely ineffective. Because these, again, are the things that are set aside. What is maturity about? What is growing up about? What is being out there? Everything we know about humanity is the ability to grow up and take care of yourself. And no, I'm not going to teach like Joseph Prince does in these matters, because I know that Christ accomplished more than what Joseph Prince teaches.
Let's have a look at the other side of the response we got to that newsletter. And this is a newsletter where, Mike, you read the letter from Moses Garter last week, and he was saying that the gospel is about to go out on a Muslim radio station in Africa and a Catholic radio station at the same time in Africa. This is from our good friend Rob Vacanti, and he said, "Greetings. Amazing that Muslims are more open to the gospel than Christians. I will support this effort. Might take a few weeks, but I'll be there with you."
Mm.
How amazing the gospel is going out on Muslim radio stations in Kenya. That's where the hallelujah, if anything, was.
Exactly. And let me tell you what is not going out on Muslim radio station in Kenya, and that is Christianity. It is the gospel that is going out. It is not – they wouldn't air 5 seconds of Joseph Prince Ministries on this Muslim radio station. Why? Because of the very essence of the fact that Moses was able to say to them that the prophet Muhammad and Christ – are one, or Yeshua is are one. Now, is that a true gospel statement? Yes, it is true. This is what Christ has done. And catering to a few people that you've made them feel so self-righteous that they will give you their money, not going there. And Rob, thank you so much. What a wonderful response from a good heart. And this is a wonderful response from a good heart from Bernie also. It's just this the mentality that we need. And let me say this concerning Bernie's letter also. Bernie, we, goodness gracious, we love and respect where you are and what you're saying. But the need to justify religion is not in my book anymore. I will not justify it because of its wealth. I will not justify it because it forces families to stay together that might even need to get divorced and get away from each other, and forces people to stay in abusive situations, and it looks good on the outside. I have no need whatsoever to try to raise money by trying to feed people stuff that is not true. It sounds good when it only takes place between your ears, but when you try to figure this out in this effect that it has on other people, you cannot find the gospel in Joseph Prince Ministries. You can't find it.
But you can find Joseph Prince Ministries in a $400 million, what was it? $400 million building. Bernie, I want to say this too. I was listening the other day to the messages that Michael shared in Calgary, and he said a fascinating thing. Now, Michael and I have had some conversations about, what's going to happen to the GR after you slip off the planet and you don't come home for soup one night, Mike? And we've talked this out at some length, quite thoughtfully. Now, not because I've got any decision-making capacity in this regard, but because I'm genuinely concerned for, Michael we're not always going to be here. That's right. And what Mike said in Calgary, I mean, it bit into me so deeply, and he simply said this: we're not trying to build upwards, we're trying to build outwards. If you try to build... When you're building $400 million facilities in order to make your tush comfortable for an hour on Sunday and an hour on Wednesday nights, you're not worried about building outwards. You're building a hierarchy. You are building a worship center. Just think about that. They call it a worship center for a very simple reason. They worship themselves. It's just that. And guess what? We got a $400 million facility here. Sounds like worship to me.
$400 million. I'm sorry. I'm appalled. I think I just threw up in my mouth again a little bit.
Let me save you. Let me save you. I'll give you five more reasons to throw up in your mouth, okay, buddy? Here is a great friend of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Barry Gustafson.
I just want to thank Mike and Jeff and Barris for the change that they've brought to my life through the message that I hear each week on the podcast here near Chicago. I left the institutional church about 4 years ago, just knowing that for many reasons it wasn't satisfying me, not really knowing where I was going. But through the podcast and through a good friend of mine, week after week meeting just one-on-one, I began to see that God's plan was bigger than what I was being taught. And I think what the gospel, the full understanding of the gospel in the new covenant has done for me the most is it's allowed me to relax. In the past, I was always terribly introspective, always looking at my navel, wondering how I was doing, if I was good with God, if I wasn't, and pretty much sizing up other people by how they were doing with God either. So it just feels so good to know that God has redeemed everybody, even if they don't know it yet. I don't have to be their judge. I can simply love them. So thank you so much for being such a wonderful voice in my life each week as I listen to the podcast. Thanks so much.
The latest videos from the Gospel Revolution? You need to.
If you're wondering why I'm not on too many PowerCasts, it's because I'm spending too much time on YouTube and not watching it. I'm performing videos on YouTube. And if you have not seen one of those videos, you need to go to our video channel. Just log into YouTube and type in Gospel Revolution 1, all one word, Gospel Revolution and the numeral 1. Or you can link to it from our homepage on our website, gospelrevolution.com. There's a link to our YouTube channel. So, everybody, stay in touch with us in every way. Subscribe to our newsletters and listen to our podcasts and watch our videos on YouTube. And we'll see you everywhere.
This week, we had the United Church of Christ. Now, you know the Church of Christ. They're the ones that you don't play any music at church. They don't. They say they don't have pastors, but they have elders. I mean, a pastor by any other name and all of that. So they say they don't have any pastors, but they have decided that this year they're going to start helping fund the gay games. Yes. They got over 5,000 congregations with over 1 million members here in the US. Now, for those of you overseas, this is not the Church of Christ that you know. In other countries, the Church of Christ is nothing like the Church of Christ in America. I've just got to tell you that. But anyway, we're going to be in the Church of Christ. We're going to be a major sponsor. Not just a sponsor, a major sponsor of the gay games. That's one down. Let me see, two down. The Presbyterian Church USA last week. Now, remember last week, Mike, we were talking about the fact that God changes his mind. Thank God he changes his mind, because we used to have fish on Fridays, and now, thank heavens, we can go to McDonald's and have hamburgers. Well, the Presbyterian Church is another church that changed its mind, or at least God was on their board and God changed their minds, apparently. Then we have, on Tuesday last week, we had Methodist pastor Frank Schaefer. Now, you remember Frank Schaefer, no relative to little Frankie Schaefer, son of Frank Schaefer, the Christian apologist. Different one. This Frank Schaefer was a Uniting Methodist Church pastor who married his son. I think it was his son. He conducted the wedding of his son and his son's male partner. He got defrocked. Guess what? They refrocked him last week. I've never heard of this refrocking business. They bought him a new frock, probably a couple of earrings to go with it. So apparently, that's the Uniting Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church, and the Uniting Methodist, or the Methodist Church here in the USA. Apparently, God's changed his minds for all of them. Isn't that great? Oh, hang on. The Moravians in America have just voted to ordain gay clergy. Woohoo! And the Affirming Pentecostal Church International, they're pretty close to doing the same. Aren't you? I mean, how lucky are we that God can change his mind with such ease? I think we're living in the best of days, don't we?
How can it be described as anything less? Goodness gracious. There's a really horrible joke just came to my mind, and I'm going to tell it. Thank God for editing possibilities.
I hear that. That's you saying you don't have to take it out, but if you don't, you'll probably fire you. I've got someone to blame.
Back several years ago, Hedda Harper, the gossip columnist for Hollywood, went to Rome, and she got to meet the Pope, and this has been a few decades back. And the Pope invited her to come to Mass so that he could, she could be there while he himself, not some other priest or anything, but the Pope, that she could be in a Mass that the Pope was performing. Well, Hedda wasn't a Catholic, but she was certainly honored to be there. And her critique on design and fashion had always been admired throughout Hollywood. So the Pope comes walking down the main aisle with the incense and the entire frock, as you called it a little bit earlier. And so as he started to pass by her, she leaned over and tugged on his robe, and he leaned down to see what she had to say. She said in her, of course, Hollywood critique, said, "Darling," said, "your shoes are divine. The hat is exquisite. Your purse is on fire."
Oh man! What? I think she was the. That is good, mate. Okay, we're going to leave that in, I think.
Oh no!
That reminds me of another story about her and her arch rival. They both arrived at a party together, and one of them said to the other, with a great sweeping motion, "Age before beauty." And the other one walked in and replied, "Pearls before swine."
Exactly. There's always a good way in the world of culture to insult.
Now, here's a story this week, Mike. There's a church up in Joplin, Missouri, and they are offering AR-15 rifles. Yeah, well, like someone's going to be praying to him about it. Yep, they can just for coming to church, you can get yourself an AR-15. Now, an AR-15 is not a fully automatic rifle, but I mean, as fast as you can pull the trigger, it can fire bullets. And I want to go to that church.
Oh my! Well, I'm not sure that I do. I don't know. Oh my! Oh my!
Well, you can always go to the church that's offering free bulletproof vests, mate, but this is the one I want to go to.
Oh, my. I'm going to go to the ones offering a bunker to hide out in.
I just saw the name of this church. It's called Ignite Church.
Oh, no.
It's a wonder they don't call it Conflagration Fellowship or something. Oh, boy. Here's the last story I wanted to talk about today. You remember we were talking about blood moons a few months back?
Yeah.
Yep, these red moons, they're just lunar eclipses. And so John Hagee, of course, have you ever seen his first wife? Yeah.
No.
Oh, she was hot stuff, mate. She was quite a gal. Didn't you?
Oh, I didn't know there was a first one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, he's do as I say, not do as I do. I think I can't be real certain, but John Hagee jumped on this bandwagon, and then he started pushing his book and his CD sets because let's face it, there's money in that, and the blood moons, and it was something big is gonna have these are this is heaven and earth are gonna pass away, the whole universe is gonna be shredded, something real bad's about to happen. And the blood moons came and went, and nothing happened. We all woke up the next day and had our McDonald's hamburger and went back to bed. Well, here I just see it's being raised again. And here's how they're raising it. Bible prophecy watchers see significance in the fall of 2014-2015. First come blood moons and then a Shemitah year, whatever Shemitah year means. So how do we squeeze more bucks out of this failed prophetic crap? We just tell them to extend the prophecy till fall. That'll give us...
And since it raises money, doesn't that mean we should be teaching it too?
I'm surprised Joseph Prince isn't into this big time.
Oh, my.
So this...
Poor Joseph.
Poor Joseph. No. Poor Joseph? Really? Really poor?
Listen, in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar, you can listen with your whole family to a
Gospel Revolution.
Mike, we're having a pledge drive.
We are indeed. We are indeed, and this is where our $400 million is going to come in this week. And we're looking forward to that. And it's going to go to something more than our edifice complex.
Edifice complex? I love the way you... Oh, keep going, mate. Come on. You got a few more of them in you?
Well, it just all depends on where my information comes from, you know.
What are we extracting money out of?
Oh, goodness gracious. Folks, we have taken a severe hit in our monthly contributions. We are down from early this year, from January. We are down over $1,000 a month in our monthly contributions. They have not gone up. They've not sustained. They have gone down.
As I understand it, this isn't people leaving us. This is just people who have had situations occur to them.
Exactly. And, we've just had several, and you know, our base is much broader than it ever was before. However, we still draw from a limited number of supporters out there. And when one or two or three of them have to back off for a few months, it is a hard hit. We quite honestly, we're not making it through the month now. We are out of funds just a little bit past the middle of the month. And, of course, the only thing you can resort to is credit cards when that happens. And we've got to bring a halt to this. We cannot go back into this credit card debt thing again. And the only way that we can keep from it is for you guys to help us out. We are cutting every place that we possibly can. The ministry is going to benefit greatly from my retirement. However, even though I retire in August the 16th, my first checks don't come in until October. So I almost feel like I've been suddenly thrown off the boat, and somehow I'm supposed to tread water between now and October the 15th. But please help us to not have to do that. Very difficult to watch this credit card debt rise, because we've got commitments that we have made, and we can't back out of them. We can't leave them undone. So while we're cutting back, the cutbacks are on ourselves, not on those that depend on us. And goodness gracious, we definitely need your help. If you've been involved in these pledge drives, and all you guys know, we forewent our pledge drive this past time to get Jeffrey established in his vehicle and to where he could have a home. It's something I'm glad we did, and glad to do it. But we are we didn't get the benefit of that. We did take some of those funds during that time because we were already beginning to fall behind. But I had made this commitment to Jeff, and I was not going to renege on that commitment to him that I had made back in January, that this is what we were indeed going to do. So we do need your help. One-time gifts, we have got to replace this over $1,000 a month right now. In fact, we needed to increase over that by about $400 a month based on some of the things that we have started doing and the expenditures. We needed to go up another $400 above the over $1,000 that we lost. So just to get us back to level is going to require about $1,500 a month increase. At this moment, of course, because of us faltering over these last 4 months, four to 7 months, actually, with the different ones having to, no fault of their own. I mean, these are folks that were giving $300, $400, $250 a month, and bam, just in one swipe over just a couple of months, we had several of them that had to call and tell us that they, for at least a temporary period of time, all of them at least 4 months, some of them indefinitely, had to stop. So between now and October, we really need your help. We really do. Now, my retirement is going to benefit the ministry greatly because I intend to live off of my retirement and the small amount that Social Security allows you to make.
And?
I'm not sure where.
Senior discounts. You're going to get senior discounts. Oh. You're going to go to Golden Corral and get the senior discount.
Hey, I've already been taking advantage of those for the last 10 years. So, retiring doesn't mean you've reached the age of senior discounts. That starts way before. but now the Social Security thing is going to be good for the entire ministry. It will be good for me. I can live on that. And I'm squared away in my home here, and things are good. But we just cannot continue to fall behind like this. And we know that there's plenty of people out there who love the gospel revolution, who love what we're doing, who have some extra funds, especially laying around in a bank account or something that you might be able to afford to help us out. Number one, we really need a cash shot in the arm right now. It would not hurt us at all to raise $10,000 during this time just to make things even, and also to come up with $1,500 a month in new or first-time pledges. I think Jeff's got it set at 1,000, but that is only to make up for what we've lost. We needed to add more to that this time around, and instead we are making up for the somewhere around a little over $1,000 that we've lost in monthly income.
You know, that would only be 75 people who decide to give $20 a month. $20 a month is you can't even get cable TV for $20 a month. And this, the model that we pursue here is not a give or God will hurt you. And we're going to love you regardless of what you give us. However, if you thought that you could, look, if this is a value for value model. If you feel you're getting value from the gospel revolution, I'd like to invite you to, I was nearly going to say the old thing, you know, prayerfully consider. I'd like to ask you to carefully consider the possibility of what $20 a month would do for the gospel revolution. Remember, the gospel is starting to go out over Muslim and Catholic radio stations this next month in in Kenya. And everything we do is for, as we said earlier, everything we do is not to build upwards, it's to build outwards. We are passionate about building outwards. So I'd just like to encourage you with that.
Absolutely. And Bears, let me say, you know, thanks to you and Jeff and Hazel, Randy, everyone that is involved. Goodness, the people that offer us tech support without fees. The work of our friend in the Netherlands that's putting on the radio 24 hours a day. Goodness gracious.
That's Marcel Rose. He's remarkable.
Marcel, yes. We're amazed at what he and many others do. We're at an incredible time. Our association and affiliation with Francois and Lydia Dutoit is we're yet to see what that is going to materialize. I do have an invitation to South Africa, and we'll see how that goes. And we're willing to do anything that it takes to get the gospel out to others. And I know that many of you are right there with us, and you're willing to do whatever it takes. We believe in this. We believe with all of our hearts that the gospel is the power of God, and it has answers that for the condition of the human race that just simply the Christianity does not have. It just does not carry it. No matter how big the building is or how many millions the building is at Joseph Prince Ministries or anyone else's ministry, none of what's going on there is going to pierce into the Muslim community. None of that is going to pierce into different religions and cause them to be able to have ears to hear something that could affect this planet in a positive way.
So for anyone who makes new monthly pledge or increases the amount of their existing monthly pledge by any amount, hey, put it up by 5 cents and really get them while they're not thinking, guys, they will automatically receive the series from the meetings in Illinois. They're the ones that we were talking about today. How many meetings were there, Michael?
There were two.
Two. For one time or monthly pledges totaling over $100, you'll receive the new series recorded in Calgary this June entitled The Mystery of the Gospel. How many sessions is that, buddy?
Four sessions. Now, that may be – there was four sessions, but there'll probably be more than that in the CDs when they actually
In the MP3s, it was four sessions and a Q&A, a question and answer time.
That would be correct.
So at least five anyway, and possibly more. For pledges totaling over $200, you will also receive a second series. You would get the Illinois and the Calgary bunch. To make your pledge, please call 321-220-4373 and make a donation. And, Michael, here are the people who have given already into this month's pledge drive.
Alan Davis, Chipley, Florida. A good friend of ours. He's been in the Gospel Revolution for quite a few years. Then in Red Deer, Alberta, we've got Daryl and Anna Hosea. I always want to pronounce their last name Hosea because it's spelled like the book Hosea in the Bible, but it's Hosea. We have Steve Stredwick in Whitehall, Montana. And Cecil and Betty Lou Hagen, Gabriola, British Columbia. We have Thomas and Linda Villand in Madison, Wisconsin. Beautiful Cookie Davy Duck up there in Castor, Alberta. Here's another good soul, Robert Vacanti in Ottawa, Minnesota. Judy Hamilton in Grand Prairie, Alberta, Canada. Suzanne Johnson, Pep Washburn in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And Suzanne Johnson in Pittsburgh, Wisconsin. We've got Phil Zimbalin and Nick Zimbalin, two brothers in Newton, Illinois. And that kind of rounds out the list so far.
That Zimbalin name, that's familiar.
Yeah, they're brothers with Chris Zimbalin, who's my best friend.
Oh, okay. That's where I've heard it before. And how are you going in your new home there, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm in a new home and looking forward to doing a few renovations. And I'm pretty happy with where I am and glad to be back here. Okay, I know there's some folks out there who have been wondering where thank you gifts are from the last pledge drive, and they did go in, we started putting them into production during the last pledge drive. They went out for mastering and editing, and there were some delays there, and then once they were done there, they were sent off to our duplicator, and they had some delays as well. So believe it or not, I just received the shipment of those CDs, and so they are going out in the mail now. They'll be arriving sometime soon in your mailbox. And thank you for your patience.
Michael, these people are the bread and butter of the Gospel Revolution, aren't they, these people?
Yes, absolutely. And let me also say to those who have found it difficult to continue at this moment, goodness gracious, guys, we love you so much. What you have done is made a difference on this planet, and you are no less respected and loved and admired by myself or anyone on this staff and ministry, and we do not want you to feel anything other than the fact that you made a decision that we know that it was difficult for you to do, because we know that your heart is to support this work and to see this message go out. So take our encouragement about the current situation that you are in financially, and we offer everything that we could do to possibly be of a help to you.
Hear, hear. I'm ready to fly. And so it is that we must leave you, folks. We love you one and all, and we especially thank all who, with your financial support, keep this message of grace and peace going out every single week. If you'd like to join them in increasing the coverage of this gospel, call our area code at office number, or even our office at area code number 321-220-4373, and speak to Jeffrey. If you would like to leave a message for the show, simply telephone me on area code 234-564-0971. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com, and we are always up for a book chat at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Rolfs in the Netherlands, all the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 at myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution. And so it is. Good night from myself, Barris Bartlett, from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And it's good night from Mike Williams, right here in beautiful Houston, Texas, where summertime is in full array. Oh, my. It's hot out there. But I'm enjoying every minute of it. At least it's not cold. Thank you guys so much. Those of you that are making decisions about what to do to get us through this, we again, between now and October, don't hesitate to send something extra in. We are in a strait, and we've not been in this position for quite some time. We watch our P's and Q's. We absolutely do the best we can with as much as we have. This has something that's just happened to us, and I hope that you understand that it's happened to all of us, and we appreciate your help. I'm going to do all I can to help everything move on down until we get to October. We've got to get this done. Thank you. We love you, and we'll look forward to seeing you again this same time, same station next week.
We're going to do the same thing all over again.
Better.
It's the end.
Gospel Revolution.